unstable internet connection tonight, so I'm going to ask the Mayor Pro Tem to, after we get started, to lead us in the pledge once we get meeting called to order. Naomi, you ready?
Are we going to do the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure.
Okay. Have we started?
Yep, we're started. We're recording.
Okay.
I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States.
Thank you, Naomi. I'm going to call the December.
Oh, we do. Okay.
Mayor,
I got to call the meeting to order first, and then we'll do the pledge.
Okay, very good.
I'll call the December 1st, 2020 meeting of the Mill Creek City Council to order, and we'll begin.
I think you said pledge.
You're frozen.
Okay, hold on. I'm looking. All right, so Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, I hope that's not indicative of our meeting tonight.
It'd be quick.
Nice meeting, everybody.
Stephanie will have to learn how to do the meeting.
Oh, Steph, you can begin. Go ahead. He can catch up.
Okay. So we'll do roll call. I was just waiting for him to come in. There we go.
Welcome back, Mayor.
I don't know what's going on. Can you hear me?
We can. We came back. We lost you.
I'm sorry. I've got a really... my internet connection tonight, I don't know what's going on. So can we call the meeting? I'm sorry?
Mayor, there's a dial-in number. You can have the video through Wi-Fi and then join by Audible.
Yeah. Telephone. Bear with me 1 second while I find the number.
I can resend if you'd like.
Please resend, Naomi.
Yep.
Is it the 253 number?
Yes, sir.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, your screen's a little jaundiced looking tonight. So yeah, your connection's pretty, you can tell it's weak.
Is that the same room you normally transmit from, Brian?
Oh, his signal got better.
Yeah, because I mean, there's a room in my house where I don't care. We even have those, what are they called, expanders?
Yeah.
I still have issues.
I think he's just calling in, he's muted.
Naomi, can you send me the number? I don't have the right number.
Okay.
I'm a cop, you idiot.
We know who that is.
Does somebody just call you at 6 o'clock every Tuesday? Because they know you're on council.
Okay, I emailed it twice to you. It should be a one tap.
Shall I come up with a Christmas joke to keep us going while we wait?
Yeah, lay it on.
Okay. Does everybody know what the snowman's favorite song is?
I give up. What?
There's no business like snow business. There's no business here. Hey, PG friendly and everything.
I was going to say, you kept it PG.
Yeah. That's one of my Santa Claus jokes.
I was going to say Frosty.
Yeah. My wife actually bought me a Santa Claus book of jokes that are very PG friendly. Non-political, very safe. unlike my typical jokes.
Here we go. Okay.
Naomi, have you admitted me?
You're in. You're in. Okay, so. But you're on mute.
Collecting you for, or collecting the mute for you.
Is your number?
Last four digits.
7453? Yes. So you'll have to unmute your phone.
My phone is unmuted.
Okay.
So unmute the phone, but mute the screen, the audio on the screen, correct?
Yes.
Can you find?
Yeah, but do we need to unmute him from our end then?
Naomi, you muted. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the phone just yeah. Oh, here we go.
Now can you hear me?
So you'll have to turn off your sound.
Phone away from the computer.
On the computer?
Yeah, move your phone away from the computer. There we go.
And press mute on the screen, Mayor.
Yeah, the screen is muted. Can you hear me?
Yes, that's way better.
Way better.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
Can you hear me?
Yes, that's perfect.
Okay, I apologize for that. I paid my bill. I don't know what's going on. So why don't we start from the top? What's called the December 1st, 2020 regular meeting of the Mill Creek City Council to order, and we'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. If Mayor Pro Tem would lead us, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. If Naomi could please call the roll.
Yes. Mayor Holtzclaw?
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem Vanell?
Here.
Councilmember Bond?
Here.
Councilmember Cavallari?
Here.
Councilmember Steckler?
Here.
Councilmember Bryles?
Here.
Councilmember Morgan?
Here.
Okay, we will begin with audience communication. Since I have technological difficulties, you're going to have to speak up because I can't see everyone on the screen. So if you'd like to address the council, please alert.
Did we lose Brian again?
He got muted again.
The phone randomly muted itself. So
yeah, that was me. I'm sorry. This is Joe Sokolowski, the IT manager. And I thought I said unmute all, but I pressed mute all. My apologies. It is up to the people to unmute themselves with Zoom.
Okay, would anyone like to address the council this evening? Going once?
Oh, Will.
Will Nelson?
Will Nelson.
Okay, I can't. My screen is, Will's frozen on my screen. So, Will, go ahead, name and address in 3 minutes, please.
Okay, Will Nelson, 14925 29th Drive Southeast. After listening to the city manager discuss inappropriate ordering of materials by former police chief last meeting, in my opinion, perhaps it would be wise to consider dialing back those spending authorization limits that I think were enlarged during Armstrong's tenure as city manager. Just an opinion, but if it happened once, it'll happen again. And the amounts are large. I thought too large at the time, but I think it's an item worth considering so we don't have additional problems in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Will. Anyone else like to address the council tonight?
I'm not hearing or seeing anyone. Is that correct? Okay, we'll move on in now to the public hearings. We're going to begin this evening with the public hearing, our second, on the 2021-2026 Capital Improvements Plan. So I think to get the proceedings started, we need a motion and a second to open the public hearing.
Motion to open the public hearing.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? I heard seven ayes, so the public hearing is now open. I'll turn it over to Michael and Director Todd for staff presentation.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council. All I want to point out before Director Todd begins is that as part of the agenda summary, you'll note that we are proposing a motion to adopt the ordinance. If council chooses, they can vote on this evening after the close of the public hearing. And with that introduction, I'll turn it over to Director Todd.
Thank you. Can everyone hear me okay? Thank you. So, presentation tonight, I just want you to take a look at the agenda summary. I have attempted to capture what we discussed at the previous meeting, added certain projects in, changed the funding around. No big changes, mostly just put those things in place. And I also went through, after our long discussion about how to deal with all 29 projects, I went through and essentially said the council has accepted my proposed phasing for each of those projects with an interpretive word there. And so what we're approving tonight is both the capital projects, the money that goes with them for 21, 22 through 26, and the phasing. And so with that, I will take any questions. Mr. Mayor, I see no questions. I think it's time to close.
There, am I unmuted again?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Director Todd. With that, is there anyone that would like to submit testimony on the capital improvements plan? Going once, twice, three times. Hearing none, I think the appropriate step now is to have a motion to close the public hearing.
Motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? With that, the public testimony is closed. So I think now we move on to our second public hearing of the evening. And this one is on the 2021-2022 biennial budget. Can we have a motion to open the public hearing?
Mr. Mayor, before we open that hearing, did we want to maybe do a motion to adopt the CIP?
I was going to go, we could. If it's the council's pleasure, we can take action on that now. I was going to do the public hearings and then go to take them in order, but we can take up the CIP if you want to throw a motion on the table.
Yeah, the only reason I do that there, I've went over this a couple of times. There have been no substantive changes on what council has discussed in prior weeks. I appreciate Director Todd's putting together the data so nice and neat and clean for us. So I would make the motion to approve an ordinance of the City of Mill Creek number 2020-867, adopting a revised and updated six-year capital improvement plan for years 2021 through 2026 in accordance with the city's biennial budget process, comp plan, and Growth Management Act.
Second.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question on this. Now we have a second.
Yeah, discussion. Councilmember Stecker, I'm sorry, my phone keeps muting itself. I don't do anything to it, but it keeps going on mute. Councilmember Stecker.
I just may be wrong, but I know we had the public discussion, opportunity for public discussion. Before we take the vote, do we open it up for council discussion and then take the vote? or am I wrong?
Yes, the motion is on the table. So now the floor is open. I believe, was there a second to Vince's motion?
Yes.
There was, yes.
Then the floor is open for discussion.
Okay.
So would you like to make comments, Councilmember Steckler?
No, I just didn't know if we were supposed to have open discussion before we took the vote or not. It doesn't sound like we needed to. So
no, we didn't need to. The motion's on the table, so the floor is open for discussion now.
No. I am, since I'm talking, I will just say I thought that the Director Todd did a fantastic job. It's extremely clear. I've noticed the changes that we talked about, including the Dobson-Remler amount to have us do some discussion and brainstorming and research and possibly bringing in some outside consulting. He added that back in. So the comments that I saw were added back in. So I thought he did just an excellent job. And I, again, want to commend him on probably the best CIP I've seen. I've seen three. It's my third. But probably the first one I really understand. So thank you, Director Todd.
Councilmember Morgan.
I just wanted to say how much I appreciate the phase approach that you presented to the CIP. I think that allows for a lot of flexibility for the council and the city as finances roll in forward. So given the way things are now, that's a fantastic approach to moving forward.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion made by Council Member Cavallari, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Did anyone abstain? Sounds like the motion passed 7-0. The CIP is adopted. Now with that, we'll move into item D, the public hearing on the 2021-2022 biennial budget. Do we have a motion to open the public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? I heard 7 ayes, so the public hearing is open. I'll turn it over to Michael and our finance director.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Council, for the vote on a capital improvement plan. Really, there's an opportunity this evening to pass the budget. And at the close of the public hearing, we'll be respectfully requesting the council to consider a motion. So we've put together a summary, just a few pages of a slideshow to capture the very impressive volume of work the council and the city administration have performed here over the course of months now. And there's a nice way for us to wrap it up with a slideshow. So Jeff, I'd like to ask you to take it away and get us started.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, City Manager. Thank you, Council, and thank you, public. I'm going to share my screen. It's only a 3-page document, but I thought this might help us. First of all, I'd like you to consider adopting ordinance number 868, an ordinance of the City of Mill Creek, Washington, adopting the 2021-2022 biennial budget, providing estimated revenues and appropriate expenditures for the operation of the city commencing January 1st, 2021. We've had a number of great workshops and public hearings regarding the biennial budget. I summarize it here. October 6th, we had a study session looking at the preliminary revenue sources and expenses. November 3rd, we had another study session on the proposed 2021-2022 budget. November 10th, we actually had 2 public hearings. The first one was the proposed 2021-2022 budget, but as well, we looked at the 2021 property tax in consideration of increases or actually not taking an increase on the regular property tax and taking an EMS property tax increase of 0.602%. And those are both embedded in our current proposed budget. November 24th, we had another public hearing regarding the property tax. And then tonight, of course, we're having a public hearing on that. Advanced slide. So the highlights, and again, this is just what we've reviewed. I wanted in one page kind of talk about this. This budget is really based upon a phased approach as well. And it's really based on the recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic, both in the economy as well as in public safety. The budget is built to retain the same level of service over the next 2 years as exists today. This budget includes our revenue plan to build revenue, not through taxing our citizens, but through other means such as expanded passport operations that we talked about, such as TSA and TWIC. And then as the economic recovery unfolds, and since it's really unknown how it's going to and when it will, we understand that we are going to try to protect that reserve over the next biennium. And this budget that you'll see on the operational side is absolutely balanced, and while still maintaining the current levels of service that we're used to today. The budget does not include, as I said before, any increase in regular property tax for 2021. It also assumes that we're not going to do that in 2022. We'll revisit that, but that's what this assumes. But it does indicate that we did pick up the EMS property tax that was IPD reduced for 2021. And also it picks up the full 1% in 2022. This budget also includes the, what Director Todd has reviewed with the capital facilities plan. We have in total just over $8.1 million in capital-related expenses, programs, projects, and labor required to complete these capital projects, again, identified with the CFP. And we've included in the budget those specific line items that you added based on responses during the last public hearing on the capital facilities plan. And then upon adoption of the CFP, which you just did, thank you for that, and this this budget, staff will complete and finalize the 2021-2022 budget book. One thing that we still owe back to the council is that we plan to present to you our recommendations on how we may have some further reorganization based on COVID-19, as well as to support Director Todd's efforts on the capital projects that he laid out. So we will be presenting back to council what that may look like, potentially new labor classification and pay scales, and this is only after working with union related and internal staff. And in no way will you find that our recommendations will exceed the appropriations that are listed here by fund within this biennial budget. So I've highlighted in blue here the proposed motion. And below that, since we're adopting this at the fund level, you'll find the fund balance number, the fund name, the estimated revenues for the two-year period, the estimated expenditures, and what we anticipate the end fund balance to be. And that concludes my my presentation. If you'd like, Mayor, I will keep this up on the screen if the council, after the public has a chance to speak, would like to make a motion.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and take it down for now so I can see the screen, and then we'll open up the floor for the public to testify, and we can bring it back up if we need to.
Okay, so I can see if I can get over there.
Okay, with that, this is the last opportunity for the public to provide testimony on the proposed budget for the next biennium. Is there anyone that would like to provide testimony to the council this evening? Please say something audibly. I can only see a few of you on my screen, my technical difficulties. Going once.
If anybody would like to speak, you need to unmute yourself.
Thank you for that clarification. Going twice. With that, can we have a motion to close the public hearing on the biennial budget?
So move.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes. With that, the public hearing is closed. Floor is open for a motion, if someone wants to throw a motion on the table, and then we can have discussion once a motion is on the table and seconded.
Mayor, at this time, I'll be happy to make the motion to adopt ordinance 2020-868, an ordinance of the City of Mill Creek, Washington, adopting the 2021-2022 biennial budget, providing estimated revenues and appropriated expenditures for the operation of the city commencing January 1, 2021.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
Mayor, if I could say something.
Yeah, who is that? Was that Mark or Vince?
It was Vince.
Vincent.
Go ahead, Councilmember Cavallari.
Thank you, Mayor. I wanted to commend the staff on just an outstanding job of an easy read budget. This, I think, is my third or fourth one, and I thought it would get easier because I would learn more, but this process just became so much easier because you made it easier, honestly. And so I'm really happy about what we're doing here. Our reserves did not dip down. We continue to make the percentage contributions. So I'm happy to support this motion, and good stuff here. Thank you, everyone.
Mayor, I had a few questions.
Go ahead, Councilmember Steckler.
First of all, I have three issues, but before I say that, I did want to send a thank you to the city manager and the finance director. As most of you know, I had 10 separate issues on this budget and the corresponding plan of concern and question. They did a great job at breaking that down for me, providing me the data that I needed. And throughout all of that, I'm now down to three issues that I have a concern with that I wanted to address at this meeting tonight. And in the budget, this includes the budget amount and the corresponding action plan of that budget amount. So it kind of, the two intertwine, and we're talking about a budget number, but we're also talking about the plan itself of what comes from that number. So it's a little bit difficult to separate just a dollar amount versus what we're going to be doing using for that dollar amount. So it crosses over between the two. So my three questions, three issues that I had was our legal fees that were budgeted for the next biennial. Those legal fees are taking a substantial drop from what we saw in 2020 of almost 1.5 million in 2020 to roughly about $500,000 per year over the next 2 years, which is a significant drop, and I really appreciate it. But it's still wrapped up within the executive line item. Considering that, and even though that is a significant drop from where we've been in 2020, it's still a significant increase of where we were prior to 2019 when we started having HR issues at that time with our city manager. Up until then, we were running about less than, say, $60,000 to $120,000 a year. So we're still looking at a significant increase. Legal issues. I'm reading the budget numbers right here, Mayor. I saw you shaking your head. 2017, 127,000, 2018. But so I think the challenge here is that we've been burying these numbers in the executive. What I would like to see us do going forward is I would like to see the legal fees come out of the executive field and have them be their own line item on the budget so that when we start tracking their performance and tracking the numbers, they're not buried within some other executive cost. So we just now know pure legal costs, because the problem here is I don't know how much was executive and how much was legal in 2017 and 2018 versus what's listed here on 2020 versus 2021.
What page are you looking at, John?
Pardon me?
What page are you looking at, just so we can all be referencing the same numbers?
I'm so sorry. I asked for a detailed breakout of the legal fees from 2017 through 2018. By 10 questions. The city manager and the finance director prepared a detailed analysis of my 10 questions. That was in last week's council meeting, and it was a presentation that was in the book for us. So you all had a copy of it, but it was a response to my 10 questions and issues that I had, and one of them was on the legal fees. And so they broke out where the legal fees were and how they were, how they have transposed over the years. So I'm very happy about the decreases. Very happy about the decreases. I just really feel adamant that we need to take our legal fees and put them down as a solid separate line item in the budget, so we can track them as a solid separate line item. They're not mingled with other administrative costs, because it is our greatest runaway line item. And this is something that, you know, it's been before the city manager got here. It's been an issue we've had. I do think that getting control of our legal costs and legal fees will do nothing but help this city immensely. And I think the best way, when you have a runaway line, expense line, isolate it into one line and be able to track it as one line item. Don't bury it within another area. So my recommendation, and I'm very, these are the three areas I'm extremely, passionate about, is I do think that we need to separate those legal fees out. The other issue was in the budget for the cost of the HR professional. The budgeted amount in the biennial is roughly, I think, $133,000 cost of a full-time HR person. And the proposed recommendation is we're going to use outside consultative services to help us. And I believe the rationale on that that was explained to me during the meetings was when we do run into HR issues, we've been using legal sources to do a lot of our investigation, which is very expensive. So now we could use these outside consultative services to do the investigation, and that would be considerably less, which I understand. But my bigger concern is, I think one of the issues that's been plaguing us, actually since I came on the council, has been even when we had a full-time HR person, that person was out on a FMLA leave for quite a while. We haven't had a consistent resource in a full-time HR person. And I think that is, given our history of a really critical component, and since we have the budget to do it, in the budget, it would cost about $130,500 on a full-time position with benefits and payroll. I think it is a much better rule for us, because what this HR person will do is actually, what do I call it? It's rather than a damage, what do I call it? A damage protection, or it's more of a, or damage control that a consultant would do after we have a problem. We would have somebody in there making sure there's damage prevention, so we don't make mistakes, that we don't make employment issues, hiring, salary issues, that we make sure and follow our employment protocols of the annual reviews that we've been talking about. This is a very important point for all of us, as well as the exit interviews, all the protocols that we've not been following because of all of the challenges we've had. I think the HR professional will ensure that. And I don't think that an outside consultative service would give us that preventative services. So I am, and looking at that and looking at the breakout of a consultative service, we can provide some, you know, a couple days a week checking in, and then the rest is going to be, you know, when we need them for research or investigation, that type of thing. I think we need somebody here making sure all levels of management are operating at the right level, that we're hiring, that we're interviewing the right way, that we're treating our people the right way. And I'm very strongly concerned that I'm approving a budget for that would cover an HR professional, but the plan doesn't include an HR professional. And so that was something that caused me great concern. The last one I couldn't get an answer on, and I think there might be a very good answer here, was in the general fund. I was looking at how all of the salaries and everything worked out, and there's some wonderful, you know, control and everything. But I noticed on one of them, we hired an individual full-time in a position at a rate that was 21% higher than the previous individual's rate, which is a significant salary hike, which now maybe this person has a different job. I haven't seen that. Maybe they have done research on the marketplace and we found that it was a much higher level. Different story. But without that rationale, this particular hiring, I think an HR person would help us, could be a terrible standard that's established for salaried employees if we bring somebody on at a 21% increase over what the previous position was paid at. So I had a great concern with that. And Michael, maybe you could help me address that one, and I'd appreciate that. That was my third concern. So those are my three. So I hope you might, I'd like to hear from Michael right now.
Yeah, raise my.
Can I ask a point of clarification? I was looking for the answers to John's questions that he posed at a prior meeting, and I have not seen those in any of the materials. I was just going back through the agendas for the last two meetings, and I don't see that link that was provided.
Mayor, it's Mayor Pro Tem. They were actually written all out. All the answers were underneath somebody's report. I can't remember if they were. Jeff's report.
It was under the finance director report.
Which was that on the 24th?
Last meeting, Mayor.
And it laid out all the answers to all of Council Member Steckler's questions.
It's listed as council questions. But go ahead, Michael. He's going to look for that.
I found it.
Okay. Yeah. First of all, with regard to the where the legal fees are parked, whether it's under the executive line or spread out the way I understand it used to be, I'll defer to Jeff on any recommendations. But I'd like to our thoughts on Councilman Steckler's recommendations. But I would like to address the other two. With regard to HR, I will tell you that if we were in normal times financially, I still would. Argue against hiring a full-time HR individual for 51 employees. But we're in something more dire than that as it relates to the forecast. And what I've really impressed upon all the management team is that we are really looking in this coming year to achieve efficiencies where, for example, the HR professional wouldn't just be here as on an as-needed response basis, but would really be expected to build out as they do for all their other clients. The ideal HR model that captures the best practices in the state of Washington. So there are a lot of processes and protocols that would be the expectation for that individual. My goal is that since it is a management position, if I can do it cheaper with a consultant, than hiring somebody with the full-time roll-ups that include the benefits, the contributions, et cetera, that we would be in a better position, particularly if we, in a small organization such as ours, has an opportunity or moment when an individual is out for whatever reason and they're on leave. When you bring on an HR firm, there would be an opportunity for redundancy so that we'd be able to recover more quickly. Our goal this year is to beat the line that we would have expended for a full-time HR manager for a staff of 51 employees substantially. Our goal is to do it in a much more cheap and expensive basis, perhaps with an even higher quality than we would if we had just one employee coming to manage 51 employees in the HR environment. There is a lot of areas in which we've already identified need improvement. Some need to be overhauled. And some of the changes we're looking at in HR will be transformative. And we believe it's the most efficient model to go with the privatization of that work for the time being. And for us to capture excellent suggestions for a time when we're in a much more predictable place financially. I'm looking for an agreement that would give us a 6-month term commitment to our firm. We've narrowed down a couple that we're looking at more closely to see simply how they do perform. Frankly, in the first month, we'll know. But if for whatever reason we need to switch horses, we can do that much more quickly and efficiently with a firm that we contract with than if we were to make that decision, that hiring decision to bring somebody on and all of the gaps in coverage that that provides if the person has to leave. So I appreciate the recommendation, but I also believe that we need to as lean as we can. And I think there's an opportunity for savings and for us to be conservative with our finances, frankly, by going with the outside contractor model. With regard to the second, I think I know the line that you're referring to, Councilman, and I appreciate the protocol and being nondescript, but what I will say is that the scope of that particular position has expanded and it's also been verified by performance. The expectations are differently. There's an expectation that all minutes are done. They're not allowed to languish over a period of months, that they're done in real time. You'll see in tonight's agenda that we're already working to get caught up after we removed the minutes from the agenda while we talked about how particular or specific we wanted them. But it is our goal, and indeed it's the auditor's expectation, that those minutes are posted regularly and on a timely basis so we don't get a management letter or possibly a finding. The scope has also expanded in terms of just the sheer volume of public record requests. It has grown exponentially. And not only does that require the processing, but the supervision and the management of it. The scope of that position has expanded, has already proven and borne fruit in the compliance arena. And stay tuned, we have another compliance matter that we're gonna be bringing the council's attention possibly before the end of this year that's potentially very serious. It is my expectation that the individual that we're referring to not only has performed, but will continue to perform in that regard, which requires a lot more hours than what was done in the past. We also know what's happened with COVID-19. This individual is also chairing and responsible for providing for all the remote formats for all the different and various meetings. And then finally, a pet peeve that many have shared with us on council is all the software that the city has purchased in the past. It simply has not been adopted. One of the big ones that we're going to be very excited to share with you is being managed and expected to be managed by this person under their expanded scope. I'm talking about the iCompass program. Right now, it is a powerhouse of capabilities, and the city right now is presently capturing maybe less than 10% of what we are paying for. This individual, as part of the expanded scope, knows the expectations is that not using that software, let's get rid of it. But if we're underutilizing it, why aren't we using it to its fullest? City Council is gonna see a lot more data and a lot more reportage we expect, and we're already teeing up a presentation to council about what the new capabilities are in the iCompass program. These are things that have been languishing for a very long time at City Hall. And as part of what you saw was a greater efficiency in this past year in the way in which we were able to achieve a balanced budget without raising taxes while maintaining our reserves. That's testament to all the team that we've put together here in the administration, which also absolutely includes the individual that we're referring to. The scope has expanded dramatically, and the extra monies that will be expended in those lines will be more than made up for by us as a city being able to explain that we are in compliance with basic public records law under the Public Records Act, that we are, for example, in compliance under JLARC, and that there's a whole host of other ways in which the expanded scope and responsibilities and duties of this position indicate that the city of Mill Creek is getting a tremendous bang for their buck with regard to this position. Thank you.
I appreciate your comments, City Manager. I think the value of what the person contributes is important, but my question isn't about that. My question is about when a position changes dramatically, when a job functions change, and we're going to make a dramatic change in the compensation, like a 20% increase or higher, then that's something that needs to be, goes through a process, an HR process of recognition, so that when somebody else comes along and says, hey, my job is taking on a lot more responsibility, I want a 20% increase. Well, we can't afford to do that. You can afford to do it with them. I've done a bunch of new stuff. If a job goes through changes and we change the functions, the title, there's a process, an HR process we go through to make sure that the city is protected. Going back to the HR person, there is no way, shape, or you know as well as I do, that an outside consultant is gonna be cheaper than a full-time HR person unless we charge less hours, okay? So a outside consultant will not be able to give us 40 hours a week. We know that. So we're going to get probably half to 20 to 30 hours a week average to even come close to what the same cost would be. And given we have two issues in our city that have been huge issues. One has been employment, HR issues. We've had one after another, after another, after another, after another I think keep going. Legal, runaway legal issues. Those two, to me, we need to come up with a plan that's different, not doing the same, but doing something different. And getting back to a full-time HR person who's here every day, working with all of our management, making sure we're doing everything right to avoid any HR issues. To me, I just can't support not doing that because we've had such dramatic issues facing our city. And same with legal. I think the legal, I want to let the citizens, everyone know that we are seriously focused on the legal costs, the runaway costs, and we are tracking them on a much more timely, maybe even monthly basis. So there will be no surprises of, oops, this quarter we were, you know, $100,000, $200,000, $500,000 over budget, which we had some issues this year where we were, and they were surprises. And I want to avoid that going forward. So those are my two thoughts. I think you want to speak now.
Yeah. John, I would say, and I want to be careful that we mind the boundary of things we've discussed in executive session. The very business model that you're suggesting, precisely the model in which many of these issues festered, that created the very problems we've talked about at length in executive session. That would be my first response. The second is that we are indeed expecting and planning, and we'll know fairly quickly if we're deviating from our budgeted lines by the end of the second quarter at the latest. Like I said, we're only going to have a 6-month agreement so that we can check in with your excellent question, and that is, are we spending more than what we thought we were going to and was the premise of the budget for the biennium? So I am fully expecting, sir, that we are going to fall below that number that we would have spent for that full-time model from that era that was an outgrowth of the legal fees that we were all grappling with to reduce. I think that there are some pros and cons to the one model versus the other, and many of them may be more appropriate to talk about within the context of what happened in executive session. But I respect the suggestion. We would like to monitor this and ask the council to consider a more financially lean business plan, at least for the first half of next year, so that we can determine whether in fact the numbers make sense for us to continue with the privatization model.
Well, I need to jump in here because I think we need to make sure we're all on the same page here. We're conflating the legal fees with, and assuming that's a result of a lack of HR representation, the matters that are driving the legal fees all originated when we had a full-time human resources person. Every one of those matters, I believe, happened with maybe the exception of the situation with our former police chief. All the other litigation arose when we had a full-time HR person. So I'm not sure that the one is the cause of the other. On the legal fees,
HR person was out on FMLA, remember? We did not have an HR person at that time.
That's not my recollection. There was sometime during that transition, but on the legal fees, John, help me understand. I hear your concern.
Mayor, I need to interrupt, I'm sorry to say that, but Councilman Steckler, that matter was something we discussed in executive session. I'm pretty sure our city attorney will advise us that we should not be talking about when that person may have been out or for what basis, because it's fairly easy for the public to infer who we're talking about. Sorry to interrupt.
John, on the legal fees, I'm trying to understand, because I didn't hear a concern over the numbers. It was how they're represented in the budget. And I think we have talked about with the city manager about having a quarterly check-in so that we are kept abreast of what's happening with the legal fees going forward. So I'm not clear what you were asking for on the attorney's fees.
Let me clarify that. If the fees, legal fees, are separated on their own separate line, it's much easier to see on a monthly basis when we're ahead or behind against the budgeted numbers. When they're buried in with another number, sometimes we might be ahead or behind on executive costs, charges, fees in that department. But when legal fees are separated out just by themselves and we have set the line item out by itself, we then know we're just looking at legal costs. We're not looking at anything else against budget legal budget legal fees. So it's easier to see when we're getting out of alignment on what we see as a particular line item that has been a runaway cost issue for us. So not a runaway cost, a over budgeted line item cost for us.
Well, again, I'm sensitive to this nature of over budget because we didn't budget for some of the litigation that ended up happening because we didn't know it was going to happen. So it's not necessarily over budget. We had unanticipated costs. But I'm looking at the answer that Jeff and Michael provided to your questions. And so are you just referring to the line item that's under the executive?
Yes. My three requests on the legal was just that the legal fees be brought out under a separate line in and of themselves. Don't bury them within the department.
Well, that's I'm just trying to understand what the comment is and what Michael has done with the budget, because it looks to me that these are broken out by department of what they've budgeted. The line item that's in the executive is for what I assume is the ongoing matters right now that we know about, the litigation for those matters that's continuing. Is that correct, no. Michael?
Yes, it is, Mayor. And Jeff, if there's any clarity you can add, I appreciate it, but that is correct, Mayor.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. Mayor, you're correct. And Councilmember Seckler, you're correct as well. So the lion's share of the legal fees is within the executive department. That's the lion's share. But as you'll notice in each one of the departments, there's a specific line item dedicated to legal. So we're able to capture that. With all that being said, though, we have the ability to report this to council on a monthly basis or during every council meeting, if that's the wish of the council, or we can group those all together in a report format where it pulls all the separate account codes together into one. It also ties back to the SAO during last year's audit. They recommended that we move it out of its current accounting code and create a unique code that the SAO has already established. And that'll also help provide additional transparency. And we can certainly do that within this budget.
And that's what I'm trying to drive at is this isn't really a question of the budget. This is a question of how you report to us how these fees are being expended.
As I mentioned at the beginning of my three questions, yes. When I talk about a budgeted item, it also corresponds to the operational use of it. So I'm not just talking about approving a dollar amount. I'm talking about an actual operation or decision, operating decision, like setting up a separate line item for legal, like hiring a full-time HR. I understand the cost savings or potential for savings with an outside consultant. I just don't feel that that is in the best interest of the city, given our employment challenges and HR challenges.
I'm trying to stay focused on the legal fees. I'm sorry.
I'm just asking if Councilmember Steckler's making a motion, because if there isn't three people that share his concerns, then we need to move on.
Yeah, fair enough.
My understanding is, I didn't know that was a three-person rule.
It's the opinion of four people to make a decision. If you are directing the city manager to hire an HR person, you can make a motion, and if three people agree with you, we'll move forward, and that will be the will of this body.
That's his point. We have a motion and a second on the table, so at this point, it would need you, John, if you want to make a specific motion for a change to the budget on any of the issues you've brought up, then you need to put a motion on the table.
These are the three issues that I have that keep me from being able to approve the budget as it stands. I wanted to bring those to everyone's attention. I cannot approve this budget as it's presented right now because of these three concerns that I have. If we can rectify them, I can approve it. I can provide my approval. But if we don't, I can't approve it and cannot vote for it. So I wanted to make sure that my position was clearly understood to the council. Everyone else is fine with it, that's fine, but I have very great concerns on these three issues, and I wanted to bring them to everybody's attention. I'm not trying to...
That's fair enough, and what I'm asking is, do you want to propose any amendments to address any of your issues?
Well, I was under the impression that we cannot dictate how the city manager runs his city, and that we can only state what our concerns are and provide our opinions. And the only control we have is over the budget. And so the only right I have as a council member, my understanding, was if I can either vote for the budget or not vote for the budget if I don't agree with these three issues. If management says those are fine, we can make those changes, then I can vote for it. If the management says, no, we disagree with you, then I can't support it because I don't agree with it. And so I don't want to overstep my bounds as a council member by trying to assume that I can tell the city manager how to run the city, because I know it's very clear that we as council members do not have that power. We have the power to approve budgets, set policy. So I can tell you that these are my concerns, and I'm very concerned about not having an HR person. I do think we need to provide a solution to that, a full-time HR person. So that's my stance, and maybe somebody else has an opinion on something else they'd like to bring up at this point. I cannot support this budget as it's presented.
Okay, any further discussion?
I'm still waiting.
Oh.
Go ahead, Mayor Pro Tem.
Before I jump into my discussion, since we've gotten off on this, I guess I want a clarification, because Councilmember Steckler had three items, and one is complaining about hiring of a person. Is he trying to recommend that we reduce someone's salary that's already hired in order for him to approve our budget tonight? So I guess I'm confused on that one. But furthermore, I guess on this, you know, I understand. I mean, I'm in agreement with Councilmember Steckler that it would be nice if we had a full-time HR person. But I am under the impression that it's not that we say what we would like to see, and it's the city manager who does the hiring on how we make that happen. And I accept the city manager's, you know, example right now that we are in COVID times, and we don't know how much more money we're going to lose in the coming year to go and hire a full-time person. So I'm understanding of that. And furthermore, I guess I just want to point out before I get into the things I was going to say originally, regarding the legal bills, I guess I have a few things to say. Because first, you know, as Mayor Holzclaw and I have stepped up in recent months, we are working to, we've already had a report being very transparent and starting to have updates with everyone and with the public of what they can know regarding those legal bills, so that we are being very transparent. Second, I would recommend for any council member, if they're questioning the legal bills and they want to know what's going on in the legal bills, I recommend you do what I do, whether you're on voucher duty or not, and you go up there and you spend the hour and read through every single one of the legal bills, because that's what I do every single week. I go up there and I read through every single one of those legal bills. And so I know what's going on with the legal bills. And I would highly recommend that my fellow council members take that time to read the legal bills as well, if that's concerned. So before we got off on that, I wanted to take a moment and thank Jeff Ballantyne, city manager and director, for all the hard work that you have put in to this budget and the CIP. Thank you for answering all our questions, going through and working out things that we asked for. And I think it is tremendous that you've managed to come up the budget for us, where we are able to not need to raise property taxes this year under the circumstances, and that we are balanced and we are still going to have reserves. And that has taken tremendous work. And I just want to thank you all for all that hard work and make sure that you're commended. And that's what I was originally going to say. So thank you.
Yeah, I can't see everyone. So does Councilmember Morgan, Bryles, or Bond would like to say anything?
Yes, I would like to share something with council. I personally have used both a dedicated HR person as well as HR services in my business history, and found that typically if you have an HR need of less than 40 hours a week, the HR services ultimately will save money, even taking into account extra legal costs that might be involved and things of that nature. So they're very similar in terms of their costs. It just depends on the need of the city. So if our need is less than 40 hours a week, I think ultimately the cost savings will still be within a service rather than a dedicated person.
Councilmember Bond or Bryles, did you have anything?
Mayor, I forgot something. Sorry, can I jump in there before Mark?
Okay.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I forgot something. I guess I wanted to clarify too, because when we were discussing deciding on Councilmember Sexler brought up deciding on salaries, I guess I was under the impression that we have ranges of salary for each classification of employees. And so it's up to the city manager's purview to decide where they fit in that classification and make sure that they are paid within that range that we have set for him. So I am assuming that our city manager would have followed those and would have done that. And I just want to make sure that I was thinking properly on that, that we have approved ranges as a council for the salary categories, and he gets to decide where they fit in those ranges. So I just wanted to clarify. Thank you.
That is correct. Thank you.
That's a very different story. Thank you for bringing that up, Mayor Pro Tem, because a 20% variance would be outside of what I assume any of our variances are on salary ranges. Typically, they're within that amount, so I assume that was outside of that range. So if it's within that range, that's different. But the salary increase of 20% versus a person who was a longtime individual, which was at the high end of the range, told me that that was outside of the range. So if I'm hearing that was within the range, then we won't have the issues that we would, which was my concern, which was the HR salary issues from other employees.
From other employees.
Right. When you go outside of your salary ranges and provide different standards for different employees, it runs into HR issues. That's what my concern was.
Yeah, in response to the point, it was well within the range.
Okay.
Thank you.
Councilmember Bond, I can't see you. Were you wanting to share any comments?
Yes, please. Thank you, Mayor. I'm happy to support this budget, and I appreciate the hard work that staff put in to do this. I would be willing to have, going into next year, perhaps monthly briefings by staff on the legal situation. I get why Councilmember Steckler's concerned. Those expenses got pretty high, and maybe briefing us once a month, perhaps when we have a light agenda, would keep us all in the loop as to hopefully the savings that we'll be incurring next year and getting those costs better under control. Also, I'd ask Jeff Ballantyne, our finance director, if it's not too much work to set up a line item like he was talking about. That's a question.
Easy to do within the fund.
If it is, I would. If it's not too much work for staff, I would support his request if other members also did. And then finally, it won't get in the way of this budget. I'm going to vote to approve the budget, but I would not be against putting on the agenda discussion about a full-time HR director versus having a consultant, what the costs are expected to be, what the savings would be, what the expected level of service would be on a future agenda, so that we could talk about that. I think Councilmember Steckler does make some good points about the HR, some of the questions he has, I have as well. I'm not against the direction we're going, but I'd like to hear some of the a little more in-depth discussion about the full-time HR position versus a consultant. Thank you.
Councilmember Bryles, did you have anything you wanted to provide tonight, input you wanted to provide?
I think anything I've said has been said.
Okay. I too want to commend Michael and Jeff and the entire staff for a great budget. I think it's important for the public to know this is the third biennium in a row that we've adopted a balanced budget, which is, I think, something we should all be proud of. I just, in light of our decisions last week, could you bring up page 3 of the budget book, Jeff, onto the screen? Can't tell if he's moving. He's frozen on my screen.
He's moving.
Yes, Mayor, he's working the pool.
These didn't jump out at me until after our decisions on taxes last week, so I don't know that we need to change anything, but I just want to make sure that the record is clear. So what stood out to me is, and these are the direct, these reflect our directives. And the second bullet point says that we should, the budget should also include a plan to build revenue without taxing. I think it cuts off on my screen, the box of the picture, without taxing our citizens. I wish we couldn't tax our citizens, but unfortunately we do. What our direction I think was that we were going to minimize any tax increases on our citizens. And that's consistent, I think, with the third point. We're not banking all of our property tax levy because we did decide last week to impose the increase in the EMS levy. We only decided to bank the unused capacity that we could have used this year for the general property taxes. So I just, after our decisions last week, those jumped out at me is that we are taxing our citizens. Our direction was not to minimize any increase in taxes. And we did that last week with our decision to not raise the general property tax levy, but to raise the EMS levy. So I don't know that those rise to the level of needing to amend those, but I just wanted to make those comments. But otherwise, I'm in support of the budget and all the hard work that's been put into it. So with that, is there any final discussion, any final comments before we take the vote?
I have one final comment based on Councilmember Bond's comments.
Okay.
Now that we rectified the employee situation was within guidelines, and if we could separate out a line item and would be open to having a detailed discussion about the HR position where we could see the financials on this and have a better understanding of it. If we could do that, then I would be in support of this budget if that's agreeable.
Yeah, I'm open to that. I think it is a good discussion for us to have. Let's remember though, that we've tried the full-time. And so we can look at numbers, but we've never tried outsourcing in my 7 years on the council. So I'm not sure just looking at the numbers without actually trying it will give us a good indication of whether it's the right thing for us or not. And so I was glad to hear, I think Michael said that if he is going to outsource it, he wants to do it with a short term. I think he said 6 months. So that we're not locked in. So if he determines that it's not the right thing for us, that we have flexibility to adjust. But I'm open to having that conversation.
Not the decision, but the information expressed to us. So we have a little bit more information in front of us. Maybe we'll all have a better understanding of it. But just the dialogue. Right now, I think we need to have a little bit more of the concrete numbers expressed to us because I know what's in the budget is fine.
Michael, what is your plan timing wise for soliciting bids for a consultant on the HR?
Well, we're considering right now. We're looking at a proposal. We're down to talking about what a contract would look like. My goal, though, is that if we have either a 3 or 6 month window, that when we had this discussion with council, we would actually have data that relates to the performance of this business model, the privatized business model for HR management, rather than us forecasting and theorizing. We'd actually have some hard data based on historical performance, albeit 3 month or 6 month window in which to analyze whether it's the better way to go, particularly in light of new financial and economic data that may also be available to us with the COVID economy. Again, I'm not stating that what we are going to do is necessarily what would be ideal in normal times, but This is just one of many ways in which we're looking to reorganize, and we'll continue to reorganize to achieve greater efficiencies in the city and be able to batten down the hatches financially. There's more outfall that's going to come out of this economy. I mean, for example, right now, the Feds, they're almost at 0%. When you can't reduce the lending rate beyond zero, it presents a whole new dynamic for us as a country or a world economy that's going to try to recover from this. So you can only stimulate that so much. If we have a worst case scenario, I'd rather us operate lean with regard to the staffing we currently have, particularly if there's going to be additional cuts that are going to be required. I'd like us to be able to model that the management has trimmed and is as lean as they can be. So the data that could come out of first or second quarter on HR with the privatized model could be very useful for us. Thank you.
No, I understand. I was asking, wondering whether or not if we had a short study session on this in early January, if that's going to slow you down too much. And I hear that it sounds like you're ready to move forward. And so do you have enough information based on the proposal that it sounds like you may have in hand to have a discussion with the council next week in a short study session just to go over the numbers you're looking at?
I don't think it's going to be ready next week, Mayor.
Mayor?
Okay.
Point of order, Mayor?
Yes.
Councilmember Cavalieri? We are kind of dissecting this into oblivion. I almost get to the point or feel that we're going to go on feelings here, that we are essentially kind of, I don't want to say undermining the city manager, but it his decision to go without an in-house HR director is his decision on the budget that we're about to prove, and whether we vote for it or against it is our decision. But how is it possible that we can ever have line items or discussions without any long-term data to apply to it? So this whole feel-good thing, it seems to me, is more academic than anything else. If we need to review this in 6 months, 8 months, a year, and decide, then it's a discussion worth having. Right now, it's irrelevant, and honestly, it makes no sense.
I think the point was that some of us want to just understand what it is that the option is that's being evaluated, not so we understand what the decision-making that the city manager is undergoing. But I agree, it's a side issue from our decision on the budget tonight. So if there's no further comment on the budget, let's go ahead and take the vote on the budget. That is the motion before us. So with all those in favor of approving the budget for 2021-2022 as presented, please say aye.
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 Stephanie, did I hear you?
Yes, aye.
I'm sorry?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed?
I abstain due to I need some additional information.
Okay. So I believe the vote was 6-0 with one abstain. Again, thank you everyone for the hard work on the budget this year. I mean, these are all good conversations that we're having, and it's important stuff. And I'm glad that we're all staying focused on all these issues and keeping an eye out for the bottom line for the city. I believe that brings us to the consent agenda for the evening. Item E. We have the meeting minutes of the November 3rd, 2020 regular meeting, the minutes of the November 10th, 2020 council regular meeting, and the minutes of the November 12th special city council meeting. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The consent agenda is approved. Moving on to reports, I just had a couple things. I think the SCT meeting was moved from the end of November to tomorrow night. So I'm only going to be able to attend about a half hour of it because I think we have the Mill Creek Boulevard study meeting at 6:30 tomorrow night. So I'm going to be tag teaming both of those meetings. The only other thing I had to report is I said I'd bring one of the thank you cards that I got from the scouts a couple weeks ago. And so I just wanted to show it to everyone. And what he wrote was, thank you. I appreciate the time you took out of your day to talk to us, from Malachi Pack 11. So I have a whole pile of other thank you notes, but that was the one that had the nicest picture on it. So I thought I'd share it. Mayor Pro Tem, any report tonight?
Thank you, Mayor. I would just like to make sure the Herald was pointing out that the county had some more CARES money coming our way. So I just want to make sure that County Council Member Mead gets thanked for that effort that he put in to make sure that we get some more CARES money from the county for our small businesses. And second, I guess I want to clarify, I was thinking that the Mill Creek Boulevard meeting was not this week, it was next week. Is it?
It's next week.
It's next week. Okay, it's next week.
Is it?
It got moved.
I thought I got something saying it's December 2nd.
It got moved since then.
Oh,
it is
okay.
It is,
thank you for letting me know.
Yeah, you got more time to do more things there.
So, okay, perfect. Good, because tomorrow's my birthday. I don't want to go to Mill Creek Boulevard sub area.
Happy birthday.
No.
Happy birthday, Steph.
Thanks, everybody.
Happy birthday.
So, thank you for that clarification. And then also, sorry to just bring this up in a report, Director Todd. But you can talk to me about this off, it doesn't have to be tonight. I just noticed I was at Highlands Park this afternoon and I noticed the swing is down. So I'll touch base with you offline about that tomorrow, because I noticed that was missing and I'm just curious about it. And that, I think all, thanks.
Councilmember Bond, any report tonight?
No report, but hello to my friend, Ed McNichol. You joined us.
Councilmember Steckler, any report tonight?
No report, Mayor. Thank you.
Councilmember Cavallari, any report?
I do. Naomi, can you share your screen, please? You bear with me here just a bit. My fellow colleagues, city staff, I'm showing you a picture of a young lady named Olivia. Olivia owns Farmhouse Espresso, which is connected to the Jiffy Lube on Bothleverett Highway. Olivia is 23 years old, probably one of our youngest entrepreneurs in the city, and unfortunately, for the most part, was about to go bankrupt and in what her words were dire straits. To say she was thankful for the CARES Act funds that we were able to supply is an understatement. When we embarked on this process to try to impact every homeowner, every taxpayer, you know, we struggled back and forth trying to stay within the confines of the law, and then we settled on getting it directly to the businesses. Well, I'm starting to hear, as are I'm sure many of you, these beautiful stories, including Bari 3 Yoga, French Nail, these entrepreneurs that some of them may not have mastered the English language, been of what they call an age where they don't feel intimidated by government or whatever factor. But to her words, she'll stay open a couple more months because of actions we took. So I bring that up and I bring her picture up because I think it's incredibly important, the work we do here, especially when we conduct a degree of outreach in which we did. And this includes the city staff, especially that many of you probably don't know this, but I gave them a list of businesses to go out to and please help them fill out the paperwork. And they did so. And I've been made aware that all of those businesses have received funds, and we've used up every bit of the CARES Act. So I thank you, I'm thankful for you. I think this is tremendous work all the way around. This is the blessing, this is what government should be doing. This is the best part of everything we've done this year, in my opinion. So I thank all of you. Thanks.
Councilmember Bryles, any report this evening?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I actually wanted to bring up the Kiwanis Zoom Santa, one of those projects actually enabled by that CARES Act money through one of our community service organizations here in the city. Some people aren't able to meet with Santa this year, especially in our area. And so this is an opportunity for families to get to meet with Santa, for their kids to tell him what he want, what they want for the holiday season, and to have that special time of year for everyone, and a great opportunity. That starts in the next week. You can, I think, you can start having reservations accepted as of today on the website zoomsantamillcreek.org. So there's more information there on that website, and I think it's a great project. I'm really proud to be involved, and I think we're going to do some great work in our city with this and many of our other projects here. Thank you.
Thank you, Benjamin. Councilmember Morgan, any report tonight?
Nothing to report, Mayor.
City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council. I ask you to pay attention to the planning schedule as a result of your this evening, which we thank you for your support on the CIP in our budget. Our December 8th meeting is looking somewhat light. We'll be having our visit from the auditor's office to hold their entrance meeting. They will talk about the opportunity for each member of council to have an individual meeting with the auditor if they so desire. And this long discussed but never really teed up discussion relating to the governance manual. And so I would ask for those of you that have all the links handy to take a look at that if you could before our next meeting so that we can begin that work and that discussion. If you require additional links, please let us know that so that we can send them over to you. And before I turn this over,
Michael, could you make sure that Benjamin and Adam have those, since I think those links went out before they were appointed to council?
Yes, I believe, Mayor, this part of their onboarding, we sent them the links, but we'll confirm that.
Thank you.
You bet. Before I turn the floor over to Jeff for an update on the CARES Act, I want to announce that the city has made a final selection for its next finance director. She is going to be in attendance at the next council meeting, and between now and the end of the week, we'll be sending out a formal press release on that. But we wanted the mayor and council to hear the news first, and I'll share the information with you as soon as we've put it together. That concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, City Manager. Very quick update for the council regarding CARES money, and we just talked about this a few times, but Ken Klein, executive director from Snohomish County, sent off an email. We responded for another grant opportunity. So this is the county-city partnership for the CARES Act distribution. And Mr. Klein sent me an email awarding us an allocation of $117,192. We're going to follow the same process that we did before. We've got the team already geared up and posted on the website today. We will be reaching out to businesses. This is for businesses that have not yet received funds from us. So we did have a number of businesses that learned about this despite all of our best efforts after the close of the last round. So this gives another opportunity for other businesses. So we're getting that out there. We're going to be reaching out again. We're definitely going to reach out to those folks that we know missed the last cutoff, and we're excited about this next round. So how it's going to work is a little bit differently. Same criteria. We're going to accept applications all the way through December 16th. This is only for small businesses, however, not for service organizations. We will send in the list of candidates to the county on the 18th. The county will look at that list. Part of the criteria is as well, the applicant must not have received a CARES Act funding from the city nor Snohomish County. So we're going to do a double check. The county is going to do a double check on the 18th. And we will make announcements on the 28th of December, and we'll have checks ready for delivery or pickup on the 30th of December. Thank you, Council.
Thank you, Jeff.
What's the deadline for the money to be spent?
We have to have the money issued out by December 31st.
Mayor, I have one more update on Seattle Hill Road from Mike Todd when we're finished speaking with Jeff.
We're done with Jeff. Letting everyone know. Thank you, Mayor and Council. Just letting everyone know, we're to continue to try to wrap up a bunch of projects that were going on in the Public Works Department. The big one we've been talking about before is Seattle Hill Road. Very latest, if you're curious, is that as much as the contractor is ready to tear up the concrete that needs to be replaced, we've told them not to do so until they have someone in place and ready to install it again. So now we're weather dependent. And I'm told by our construction management helpers at Gray and Osborne that we really shouldn't count on this happening before the end of the calendar year, as much as I hate to say that. Probably we're hoping to get it done between now and the end of the year, with minimum disruption to the pedestrian public out there. We've probably still also have some long lead time items on the RRFB, the rectangular rapid flashing beacon is probably long lead. We don't know yet, but so expect the whole project to be done probably middle of February. So remember again, the road is functional. The sidewalks are functional. The push buttons are functional. We just don't have the very latest talking push buttons that are required by the latest federal specifications, because this is using federal money. So we're working really hard to get that done. That's it. Thank you.
Michael, could you or Sergeant Phillips give just a really quick update on the incident that happened on 527 that had it shut down over the weekend?
Chief?
I can't provide much more of an update than what we released on our Facebook, other than we were involved in a pursuit that was initiated in Snohomish County and resulted in shots being fired within the jurisdiction of Mill Creek. We assisted in a canine track locating the subject who had taken or holed up in residence and was taken into custody by Mill Creek and Snohomish County deputies. And then the collision component that was associated with a marked patrol car, not a Mill Creek officer, that was investigated by Washington State Patrol. But no Mill Creek officers injured. I don't know, perhaps City Councilman Bond might know better than I do about the medical status of the involved deputy, but that subject's in custody.
No, I appreciate that update. And I was asking in part because the only report I saw on social media was someone posting about a drive-by shooting, and I just wasn't clear what had happened.
The shots, so during the pursuit, shots were fired at the pursuing deputy and officers. Our canine officer was number two in the pursuit.
Okay. Thank you for that update. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Is that all the reports Michael and staff had tonight?
Yes, Mayor, that concludes our reports. Thank you.
And we do not need an executive session tonight, correct?
That is correct. Thank you.
And with that, we will wrap up with audience communication. Does anyone like to speak to the council tonight, closing out the meeting? Going once.
Yeah, I'd like to talk, Barbara, but I'll defer to Will.
Is that Mr. McNichol that was just speaking?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can. You have the floor, name and address in 3 minutes if you'd like.
Great, thank you very much. My name is Ed McNichol. I reside at 14222 29th Avenue Southeast in the Highland Trails neighborhood in Mill Creek. Wanted to just talk to you about three quick things. One is the link to the city council meeting and to participate as I am now is listed incorrectly on the city council page. It is correct in the agenda for the meeting, but you really have to go digging to find it. So that could be corrected, perhaps. Also, as a holder, a longtime holder of a City of Mill Creek business license, we did receive the communication about the CARES Act. We appreciate that. We are doing quite well this year. We elected not to participate so that young entrepreneurs, like Councilmember Cavallari pointed out, would receive those funds instead. And then lastly, I'd like to touch on an article published in the Mill Creek View by Councilmember Cavallari. Excuse me if I pronounced that incorrectly. And I'm just concerned, I really trust that this is our friend Fred attributing you as a Mill Creek councilman without you asking for that attribution. But it, to have an opinion piece, once again, it's not listed as an opinion piece, but we all believe it to be one. To have that done representing the city of Mill Creek as an elected official, I just encourage any of you that contribute to Fred's work to just stress to him how you want to be identified. That's all I had. Thank you for your time and your service.
Thank you, Mr. McNichol. And Naomi, can you look into that issue with the link on the website and make sure we have it correct going forward?
Totally.
And with that, we
Mayor,
will adjourn.
Mayor,
yeah.
Will had his hand up.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I don't have the screen. Will, the floor is yours. Name and address in 3 minutes. Apologize.
You'll have to unmute yourself, Mr. Nelson.
Thank sorry you. About that. Will Nelson, 14925 29th Drive Southeast, Mill Creek. Having worked as a consultant for many, many years, I would tend to support the city manager's position on trying out a HR consultant. It sometimes works out very, very well. In my experience, being a consultant, I did not have to worry too much about office politics and did my work and just reported to the boss, which in this case would be the city manager. So I can see it both ways, but that's been my lifetime experience. And if one doesn't work out, you can get rid of them pretty fast. Anyway, that's my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you, Will. Okay, I'm gonna ask the Mayor Pro Tem if she can see anyone else on the screen that I can't see that would like to speak to the council tonight.
No, Mayor, I don't see anyone else.
Thank you. Hearing none, we will adjourn the meeting at 7:32. Thank you, everyone.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night,
thank
everyone.
You. Have a good night. Have a good week.
Have a happy birthday, Stephanie.
Thank you.